it's gotten in the shade. About the coral that lies beneath the waves. Oh, what joy for every girl and boy, knowing they're happy and they're safe. We would be so happy, you and me. No one there to tell us what to do. I'd like to be in an octopus's garden with you. In an octopus's garden with you. In an octopus's garden with you.
Listening to the Electric Hour on WMFO in Medford.
Regular.
You're listening to Hour Come the Electric. My name is John C. Merfeld. That was a little rubble bucket for you. Hi, I'm here. Brendan is not here. We're going to do a show anyway, and it's going to be really great. We've got a great hour of scripted material coming up to you to hear. Brennan, I believe, what did he say? Let's read Brennan's excuse live on air. Actually, I've got a professional Brennan character actor in the studio here who's going to perform this excuse that I got from Brennan today at what time?
7:27.
I wake up to this text message. Actually, I was already awake, but I hit the snooze button, so I was between wake-ups, and then I get this text, and what does it say?
Hey, dude. I am so sorry, but I can't make it to the show today. Gotta finish an assignment by 10 and just need the time to work.
Yeah. Hey, dude. That's textbook, Brennan. Yes, you'll hear this character actor I hired to come in today. This is Archie. You've never been on the show, right?
Nope.
Yeah. This is good. I'm getting a lot of, this semester's been weird because I'm trying to get a lot of first time people, I will often invite several people and then all the women will cancel. So it's been a pretty male heavy semester, which is weird, but it also been a lot of first time people, which is good. So, you know, we're season five, we're trying new things. So welcome.
Thanks.
You know,
yeah. Happy to be here.
Well, I'm glad.
Yeah, it's a beautiful studio.
What's that sound? Is that I can't tell where that blowing is coming from.
Yeah, I think it's coming from all around us.
Wow, like a kind of a spirit.
Yeah.
Okay.
I grew up in the church.
Oh, sure. Yeah. What part of Tennessee are you from?
Nashville.
You're from Nashville. Okay. Yeah. Aiden's from Knoxville.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, as a Nashville native, you must have always been, you know, at the Hard Rock Cafe. did you see a lot of music and stuff?
Yeah.
Growing up? Just like kind of all the time?
Yeah. Obviously, Nashville's like country music.
Sure.
But yeah, there's a lot of good music otherwise. I mean, the great thing about Nashville is there's a lot of really good venues just because of the music industry. So
you can get real close to the mic if you want.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah. There we go.
So yeah, there's just like a lot of good music all the time and a lot of really good writers and it's a fun music scene.
Yeah. Are you still into country now?
I was never really into country when I was in Nashville, but now that I'm in the Northeast, I've started to listen to it more.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wait, okay, say more about that, because I've experienced a similar phenomenon.
Yeah, I think, being from Nashville, like, I think you kind of want to be a little rebellious and be like, nah, I hate country music. And then I got to the Northeast, and I was like, oh, liking country music can actually make me a little different.
Yeah, right. No, people. I totally agree. I'm very much more connected with my Midwestern folksiness since coming here. Do you know Brandi Clark?
Name sounds familiar.
She's pretty new. I think she just won a country music award maybe this past year, but she was on the radio show I worked for over the summer. Or at least we did like a Skype like interview with her and she played some songs. It's really good. She writes this very vivid music about like small town. I think she's from like Washington actually, or Washington State, but it's like, you know, it's like Eastern Washington State. So it's very rural.
And yeah.
She writes country music and it's really good. Wow. Yeah. That's really interesting. Who are your people? Who are your country people?
Love Johnny Cash.
Oh, yeah.
Newer stuff, I really like Sturgill Simpson. I don't know if you've listened to him at all.
I don't know Sturgill Simpson.
Yeah. Kind of sounds a lot like an old school, like Waylon Jennings, Merle Haggard kind of artist. I like more like alt country kind of stuff because I still can't get into the mainstream.
Oh yeah, it's it's just kind of gross.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty disgusting.
Yeah,
but yeah, I mean, I think yeah, I've enjoyed at least getting to enjoy like the basics of country music.
Yeah,
or, like seeing where it came from, even if I don't like what it is right now.
Sure. Yeah, the old. Yeah, I agree. The kind of older, just sort of cowboy.
Yeah,
music is really good.
I think it's fun, like learning about how, because I mean, country music influenced a lot of the current music that we sure. have. Like Elvis was a country music star. I mean, can't think of the other people who started out that way, but I mean, like a lot of.
Hey, Taylor.
Yeah, Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift was a country star.
Yeah. Equally genius.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, like a lot of the music we have today like evolved out of country music, so I think it's kind of interesting to observe the roots of that. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Dang, dude.
Go Nashville.
Go Nashville. Yeah, you might be the first genuine country fan that's ever appeared on this program. Yeah, I always, like, I worked on a farm for a couple summers, and the people there, I mean, it's all around me at home, or it was all around me at home, because, like, when I was in high school, like, I'd either be, like, working out with the football team, and that, everyone there was from, like, you know, kind of more hick part of Wisconsin and love country, or I'd work on the farm, and even though the people there were usually from, like, Madison, they, for some reason, still liked country, so I always associate, basically, country music with, like, summertime, and you know, you're doing something, you're working, and you listen to country music. Even the kind of modern gross kind that's just like...
Yeah.
Yeah, took her...
took her in my truck.
Took her in my truck. Yeah. Man, that's... It's good. I mean, I just want, as background, I want to play... it's in my head now. Do you know something about a truck?
Yeah,
I love that
song. Unfortunately,
I mean, I love it. So I'm just gonna put it just in the background. Oh wait, is this the right one? Yeah,
it's hard to tell. They all sound the same.
Oh yeah, all right, great. Anyway, I just for some atmosphere. It's just so.
So what's a big deal? It's almost like a self-parody to a certain extent.
Yeah, I know.
Like either this artist is incredibly self-aware or not self-aware at all.
Yeah, I know, because. Makes it taste just right. Oh man. On that drop tailgate on a summer night. Something about beer. Sitting on ice. Yeah. Yeah, here we go. Here we go. This one gets really good. With an ice cold beer. Press against her lips. Oh yeah. In that farmer's field. Make a boy a mess. Something about a girl. In a red sundress. Yeah, that's
something about a kiss.
Yeah, that's always it. It's just so it's like, oh, women, you know? Oh, man. Yeah. I don't know. The euphemisms also, like, you know, the most natural. It's like, okay, we get it. Like,
yeah.
You're getting some. You're going to a literal field. Oh, wait, yeah. The chorus. Yeah, I don't know. I find it a little hard to like square, you know. And I think conservatives are demonized in this country, but I also think it's a little weird that you probably have a guy like this who, I hate to pigeonhole, but probably professes Christian morals, and then it's like, yeah, but like, I do like to take the honeys out to the field, you know. It's like, I don't know. How do you square your rock and roll country lifestyle with what, again, I'm assuming, but I think it's probably safe to say a lot of them, you know, relatively conservative Protestant beliefs.
Yeah. It's always fun when they, like, try to work Jesus into songs that are also, like, a solid 70% about boobs.
Yeah.
And girls and women.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, cool. Oh, we got Caitlin, who is from Missouri. Maybe she'll have some opinions, too. Oh, man. Oh, I got... This thing is configured to take phone calls. Yeah, I know, right?
It's fancy.
We got a lot... There's a lot going on here. I was looking for the WMFO phone number in my phone, and I accidentally scrolled to Caitlin's number because I was thinking of her. I was like, she already knows that, I presume. When did you... Do you still know, like, your parents' cell phone numbers by heart?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. It's a short song. Oh, man. That's, like, the radio version. It's already over. You don't need to say them. I just...
Yeah. I was about to and realized Scott and Lori might not appreciate.
Oh, yeah. Maybe not. Scott Troxel.
Yep.
Oh, man. That is a man's name. Scott Troxel.
Scott Troxel Realty.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. What is he, does he deal in like, residential?
Yeah, just houses.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's... yeah, I have a friend from back home whose dad does, like, you know, he does, like, apartments, but it's, he does a lot of, like, student, like, very, you know, cheaper stuff downtown, and he got some, like, really famous, like, bad review in the paper about how crappy his apartments were, but it's because they're, like, low-income apartments. Yeah. And so there's this whole bumper sticker thing, and his name is Patrick Corcoran, and people call him Cork. So, like, all over town, you see these bumper stickers, like, I'd rent from Cork. And it's just, like, this whole thing where, you know, like, oh, someone has a bumper sticker, like, they like, go to our church and, like, all this stuff. So you still see those bumper stickers all the time in Madison. I don't know if there's ever been such a scandal with your dad, but...
No. Apparently, at one point, because Nashville is still homophobic, someone tried to convince people to not buy houses for my dad because...
Really?
He had a reputation as only dealing with the gays.
Really? Not just, like, he does deal with the gays, but he exclusively traffics in gay housing?
I guess,
wow.
Yeah.
I mean,
I guess Scott Troxel is responsible for the Nashville gayborhood.
Yeah. Is there one?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. All right.
I don't think there's, like, even much truth to that rumor.
I
just find it hilarious.
It's a pretty funny rumor.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Yeah. Hey, can you run and let Brandon in? Yeah. He's outside the door we came in. Thanks. Man, guys, this is heating up. We're learning all about the gay scene in Nashville. We're learning about Realty in Madison. Oh my gosh, an additional listener. What is this? Yeah, so, you know, it's good stuff. Actually, this... Hello, hello. Here, take that one, because that mic is crappy. And now we're being joined by our... Oh, you can... Here, you scoot over there so I can see you.
Very fancy.
Yeah, right? It's really nice. It's super nice. Here, just talk right into that microphone.
All right.
Oh, wait a minute.
How many people are listening to this?
Oh, wait a minute.
Eight, actually.
Oh, wow.
Hold on, I need to actually... reconfigure the board really quick. For a talk show. Okay. Here, Brandon, try talking into the mic again. Get it really close.
Is this working out?
I'm not hearing it.
Yeah, neither am I. Weird. Oh, wow. Oh, wait, hold on. Okay. Okay, all right, now try.
All right, yes, no, maybe so.
Wait, get it right up to your mouth. I'm sorry, folks at home.
Like
this. Dang it. Try that one. Sorry, I, this, Always some problems with the mics.
Is this one working?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yes, okay. That is working. Okay, all cool. Right. Sorry, I thought that one was the one that didn't work. Maybe they did some kind of thing. All right, folks, welcome to Brandon Lee, a fresh face in the Tufts comedy world. I got a couple first-timers here in this dude, but one is a senior, one is a freshman. Brennan is not able to be here today.
Gotta fill the B quota.
Yeah, exactly. That B quota. Brandon, how you doing today?
Good. Sorry for being late. I overslept my alarm writing a paper.
That's okay. I do that sometimes, too, and it's my show, so that's, you know, you're fine. What is the paper about?
Martin Shkreli.
Wait,
it's about prescription
drugs. You're really writing a paper on Martin Shkreli?
Yeah, I'm writing my paper on Martin Shkreli.
Dang it, dude. Brandon is obsessed with Martin Shkreli.
Obsessed not as I like him, but I just think it's
funny. He is the biggest fan of Martin Shkreli.
don't make that a
record. Let the record show.
Yeah. For real. Holy cow. Okay, wait. Did you first hear about him when we were writing Tufts Today together?
Oh, no. I've heard about him before.
You knew who he was. Did you know his name?
Yeah, I knew he was a very despicable character, but also he has a funny name.
And you thought he had the funny name before.
Yeah.
You didn't hear. Okay. So you've been carrying that around for a while,
yeah.
This love of Shkreli. This is the pharma bro, who, to those who don't remember, the guy who raised the drug price. And now he said that he's doing this whole thing with the Wu-Tang album.
Yeah, he's releasing it now.
Because Trump won, right?
Oh, okay. Was that the deal?
Yeah. I don't know if
how many voters he swung.
Was he trying to bait people into voting for Trump? Like, yeah, drop. Like, how many Trump voters are also Wu-Tang Clan fans?
It's a very low overlap.
Yeah. Or I guess like swing voters, where it's like, I guess I'll come out to the polls today.
There are a bunch of like studies shown, and like, that's the study that people aren't talking about.
If my boy Shkreli will drop this.
How Shkreli swung the election.
Yeah. Holy cow. I don't know, man. What if in like a month that does come out? Like they do a really, like Pew or Gallup does some really rigorous thing and he totally did swing it. It's like there's one county in like Pennsylvania, like in Philadelphia, all these people came out. And I don't know. Would that make you like him more or less?
I mean, less. Like, I don't like him for the record. I just think that he's a very, it's an interesting character to watch.
That's true. Did he ever get punched in the face? I know he was doing that thing where you could pay him like $50,000, or you could donate $50,000 to charity and he'd let you punch him in the face.
I have no idea.
Hold on. I'm going to look this up. You guys chat amongst yourselves.
So.
Hey.
Hey.
How's it going?
Good. Pretty good. Oh, you have the headphones on.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I figured I'd go all in.
Uh-huh.
No, it's
very, very radio. This is a very professional setup.
Yeah, I know, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, she did it. Here, I got an article on HuffPo. I think she did it. Oh, no, she didn't! Okay, so this is... this is... September 29th. Okay, maybe I saw this. So, a woman who had pledged to donate $50,000 to punch hated former pharmaceutical executive Martin Shkreli in the face reneged on the deal, Shkreli said Thursday night. Shkreli said he's looking for someone else willing to pay to slap him silly. Wow. She was from Florida.
Of course.
Punch gimmicks us. Right. Wow. I don't know, man. What's Shia LaBeouf doing these days, also? I feel like he there's something with him rapping.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
What is with these guys?
I don't know.
Who just want to be like these weird fringe characters in our world.
They just love attention, I think.
I guess.
That's all it's about.
I mean, yeah, I guess. They should get a radio show on WMFO. It's a good way to get some attention.
Yeah.
Yeah, just start a podcast.
Yeah, for real. Everyone's doing it. I'm trying to think. I mean, Oh, wow. All right. We're hemorrhaging listeners since you got here, Brandon.
Oh, wow.
That's okay. I guess we got some Shkreli fans who don't appreciate the sass. I'm trying to think of like other like weird cultural stuff that's been going on the fringes. Like, I feel like Shkreli's very like last couple of years, he's like this it character, but
yeah,
I don't really remember.
Kind of reminds me of like when Joaquin Phoenix kind of like went off the rails a little bit.
Oh yeah, what did he do?
I think he said that he was...
Here, get rid of the microphone.
Yeah, I think he said he was going to stop acting and start focusing on rap.
Oh.
Which...
That was always the problem, is he wasn't focused enough on rap.
Yeah.
He did it, but he just wasn't focused.
Yeah, he was a freelance rapper.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, it turned out it was all for a documentary. Just, like, seeing how people responded to Joaquin Phoenix going crazy.
That's pretty funny. I mean, that's kind of an interesting idea for a documentary.
Yeah, definitely.
Huh. I kind of remember that.
But.
I remember there was a stir. What? Yeah. People always have these public meltdowns and stuff. Is Lindsay Lohan back? I don't know. Who's keeping track of this stuff? It's not me.
Yeah, I guess Gawker's out of business now.
True. Gawker. Yeah, they got, like, sued, right?
By Hulk Hogan, right?
Yeah.
That's what they do.
Yeah.
They released his sex tape or something?
Oh,
like that?
Yeah, it was something. Yeah. Oh, all right, I gotta look this up now, too. This is gonna be like the pop culture show. I know all of us are really on our game with that. Oh, yeah, try not to swear. Also, that's one of the rules from the FCC.
Okay.
You get fined if you swear or something.
I mean, like, it happens every show, so it's not a problem, but you're not supposed... I'm supposed to tell you not to. Let's see. Okay, Gawker announced it would be fined for bankruptcy as a direct result of the monetary judgment against the company related to the Hulk Hogan sex tape lawsuit, and now that is its own article. It's a Florida Gawker for posting portions of a sex tape with Heather Klem. Oh, no, it's not. Oh, yeah, okay. His name isn't Hogan in the case name, and I didn't realize that Hulk Hogan... I thought at least his real last name was Hulk Hogan, but his real name is Gene Bolia. So the case is Bolia v. Gawker. For posting portions of a sex tape of Bolia with Heather Klem, at that time, the wife of radio personality Bubba the Love Sponge.
Bubba the Love Sponge.
And now that's its own article. I'm just going to check quick on Bubba Love Sponge.
John, what's your radio name?
Born Todd Allen Klem. it's just John C. Merfeld. Pretty much the same as my performance name.
Bubba Klem.
No, it's not. Bubba the Love Sponge. His real name is Allen Klem, but he got Bubba the Love Sponge. That's pretty good. Hulk Hogan also claimed intentional infliction of emotional distress on Gawker. That was one of his charges. Wow, yeah, they awarded him $115 million. And, no, $140 million. $115 in damages, in compensatory damages, and $25 in punitive damages. Holy cow. Dang. All right, guys, we got to publish a sex tape. I'm calling it right now. I want this show to really hit the big leagues. What do we got? Who do you think we can get to catch on camera? Or not? I guess we just need someone to send us the tape. I doubt Gawker went and filmed it. Just had the tape. I mean,
you can do it's a radio show, so you can just make noises.
Oh, true. Yeah.
I think like an Ira Glass sex tape would be.
Oh man, it'd have to be an Ira Glass sex like.
Especially if
audio.
It's like partitioned into like acts. Like, act one.
Yeah, it could foreplay and the act itself. Yeah, Ira Glass sex tape. I don't know if I'd listen to it, but I'd share it.
Yeah.
And share it on social media.
I'd at least say that I listen to it like I do a lot of other podcasts.
Oh, sure, sure. Just oh, I know, right.
Read a vague headline like, this is important, and share it with all your friends.
Yeah. Must watch, colon. Okay, wait, that's an interesting question. What piece of pop culture do you always say you've consumed but you haven't? Because I definitely do this. I feel like there's something I always say I've seen. Hold on. Brandon, you look a little confused. Like, maybe you don't lie as much as me and Archie do.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think.
Okay, all right.
Also, very tired.
Oh, sure, sure.
Yeah, I haven't seen The Big Lebowski yet, which I realize is a major misstep on my part.
It's pretty good. I just saw it a couple months ago. It's good.
Yeah. It's like if someone asks me if I've seen it, I'll be honest. But if someone's having a conversation about it, I will never freely admit that.
I guess it's more that, yeah, you get people talking about it and you go, yeah. Oh, man. I feel like I've said that about Titanic. I mean, I know what happens in Titanic, but I've just seen it. I know every part because it's been so parodied. And I just know what happens, but...
Yeah, I don't think I've ever watched it in full, but I think I've maybe caught every part of it on, like, Lifetime Movies.
Oh, sure, sure.
A hotel.
At different points. Yeah.
Yeah, like, I think a prerequisite for, like, talking about an issue is knowing the issue, but a lot of the times I know vaguely of the issue from, like, Trevor Noah or from 60 seconds of reading an online article, and
right.
I still... just put a vague opinion, like, it's really bad what's happening in Syria.
That's pretty safe bet, though. I'd say if you had said nothing but that for the last 10 years or so, you'd be fine still. Are you a Trevor Noah fan?
I think he's getting there.
Is he getting better, do you think?
I think so.
I haven't really...
not a fan.
I haven't really seen him. I mean, I kind of watched... early on, started to see, but I didn't think it was very good. I don't know. I miss Jon Stewart.
Yeah.
I feel everyone kind of feels that way.
I think every now and then Trevor Noah has like a really good segment where he kind of takes advantage of having a different perspective.
Right.
But I think overall Jon Stewart definitely had a lot stronger show and a lot more incisive and poignant bits and pieces.
Poignant bit?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad we have Sam B. And John Oliver and even Colbert, I think, sometimes is pretty good still.
Yeah.
We're going to get I think Caitlin's going to call in.
Ooh.
So talk about your outside perspective. Yeah, our field correspondent. She's been calling a few times. It's also, yeah, this will be good. Brandon, what are other issues you kind of know about? Maybe Archie and I can fill you in.
Educate me about, the economy.
Oh, man.
I don't get it, the whole arguments, pros. I get the pros of the whole,
the economy.
Free healthcare and the minimum wage, and then people argue the cons, and I don't know if I agree with them, but I also can't disagree with them because I don't know anything about the economy.
Sure, sure.
So.
Archie, you know a ton about the economy, right?
Oh, so much.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting from your body language.
We talk about this a lot in my psychology classes.
No, yeah. Look, I know I had a lesson plan today, but the economy is so dang important. We gotta get to this.
We're gonna talk about Freud, but I think that instead we should talk about tariffs.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, so Brandon, let me give you the rundown of the minimum wage.
All right.
Okay. It has not... well, reasonable hikes in the minimum wage have not been shown to cause job losses. However, very large hikes might have been shown to do that. So... the thing with the minimum wage, I think, good compromise is to, you know, A, tie it to inflation, obviously, but, you know, modest hikes so that you don't cause a big... You don't want to do things that are going to be, like, really tossing big boulders into the pond of the economy. That's what I would say with my limited understanding. You want to help people out, but not cause whole industries to have to change how they operate at once. Unless you're just trying to tear up Washington, you know?
Yikes, man. That's Steve Bannon. And Steve Bannon and Mike Pence honestly freak me out more, you know?
Yeah.
Wait,
is Steve Bannon that white supremacist guy?
He is that white supremacist guy. And he's now Trump's, I think, chief strategist or senior advisor. That's maybe the same job. He is that white supremacist guy. It's pretty much the only thing you need to know. He runs that white supremacist. At the very least, he runs a white supremacist news site. Now, maybe he has no editorial control. And oh, holy cow! What a thing! All right, we got. Hey, oh yes, hello. Are you there?
Hello.
Hey. It's our field correspondent, Caitlin Cry. Oh yeah, Brandon Puff has
on.
Hey, where are you right now?
I am in Australia.
Oh.
That was a joke. I'm on campus.
Oh, you're on campus. Because you're usually out, like, in a forest or in, like,
Revere.
Wonderland, yeah.
Well, I wanted to go see the moon, so I went out earlier.
Okay, how'd that go? Because it is pretty cloudy.
Yeah.
I went out Monday. The moon was amazing.
Oh, you went out earlier in the week. Okay, okay.
Yes.
For your photos. Okay. That's fair.
It really was a super moon.
Yeah? Hey, share some deets about the moon. What can you tell us? What can you report?
Okay, so at first I kept seeing all these airplanes, and I was just like, I bet the moon's going to be the same size as that plane. And then I was so wrong. The moon was like 20 sizes the plane.
Yeah, obviously. It's like that normally.
I meant like, well, yeah. Okay. It was orange. It was big. It was a super moon.
That's what people say about Brandon's butt when he flashes it out the window of a bus.
I would agree with that.
I'm in the studio with Brandon also. I'm not just trash talking him from beyond the veil, for the record.
Oh, yeah, I know. Hi, Brandon.
Hi, Caitlin.
It was a super moon.
Hey.
Did you get a lot of the, like, the craters and seas and stuff?
Yes. You can see the craters on the moon when it's that big.
Guys, any moon questions for Caitlin? That's pretty much all I wanted to know.
Was it big?
Oh, yes. It was very big. It was, like bigger than, like, 10 houses.
I don't get how you're judging this.
Yeah,
size.
Yeah. There's
your
a lot
scale
of,
is...
yeah. Like, 10 houses as seen from Earth?
Okay, like, if you were looking on the horizon and you saw, like, a house, like, there would be 10 houses in front of the moon.
I really don't understand.
Do you guys understand what she means by that?
Not at all.
I don't. So wait. you try a different? There's a house on the horizon.
So if you had taken a balloon and put it like 10 feet in front of your face, like in the sky, that's what it looked like.
Okay.
Okay, that's a little bit more of a.
Yeah.
Mental image.
You know what they usually say is your thumb at arm's length is about how big it is.
Oh.
That's like an arc second.
It was bigger than that.
Yeah,
it was way bigger than that.
Sure, sure. I have pretty big thumbs.
Oh, I have kind of small thumbs.
I know you do.
It was like your thumb at like half arm's length.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. I can confirm.
Yeah, in the studio, we're doing some live thumb tests.
Yeah.
Everyone at home, please hold your thumb out in front of your, at half arm length, depending. There's a lot of, humans used to be really bad about this, where it'd be like, oh, it's the length of 10 feet. It's like, well, my foot at least. Like, people, you can't, but everybody is a different size.
Yeah.
Thumbs and arms are different sizes. I don't know. It's all subjective. Or it's not. The moon is the same size to everybody, but your body isn't, so Hey, find out what works for you in terms of the moon. Call in with the relative distance you have to hold your thumb from your face to what percentage of your arm it is to see the moon. Mm-hmm. That's a survey.
We will send you to the moon.
We will send you to the moon. Caitlin, are you in at your place, your house?
Your place?
Yeah.
I didn't want to reveal her location. She didn't want it to be revealed. So you're chilling, or is anyone else around you?
I'm in my town and I'm going about to go eat breakfast.
Oh, nice, nice, nice.
So, if listeners on the radio want some croissants, join me.
Yeah, where's...
Not actually, though.
Yeah. That's an open invitation, folks. Caitlin Cry would like a breakfast buddy.
But only croissants.
Only a croissant buddy.
Yes.
Huh. That's what you're going to be eating?
Well, actually, I haven't looked at the menu yet, so...
Okay.
There's a pretty good chance that they don't have them today.
Okay.
But if there are some, I will have some.
What did you guys have for breakfast? Did you eat before you came?
Nope.
Really?
No.
You guys, neither of you have eaten yet? Oh, my gosh. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I had a bowl of Honey Nut Cheerios.
Oh, that's nice.
I usually have an apple on my way here, but I had a little more time this morning, so...
Probably have a bowl of Honey Jozo's when I get back to my house.
Oh, yeah? You get the,
store brand.
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. The one in the huge bags that cost, like, $2.
I know, right? It's incredible how cheap some things are. All right, Caitlin. Caitlin, just a final question to follow up on something Archie and I were talking about earlier. Have you found that being here at Tufts has made you connect more with the kind of folksy part of your Midwestern roots just because it is a way to be different?
Oh, yes. Like, so much, yes.
Yeah, like in a way that you didn't when you lived there?
Yeah.
See, there you go, folks. Be from a different place. I don't know. Do you feel that way at all, Brandon? You're from Virginia. You spent some time in the South. Maybe you need a little more time to assimilate to the Tufts culture before you can reject it.
Should I start wearing like straw hats? And
I mean, I think it'd be cool if you did. Caitlin, Brandon should wear straw hats, right?
Straw hats and overalls.
Oh yeah, Brandon, I got 10. Come over. I'll give you one.
And if you could get a little thing of wheat.
Oh yeah.
To be I guess it's hay. It's usually a little thing. Or I don't know what it is coming out of your mouth. Yeah. All right. Well, Caitlin, thank you as always for being our field correspondent. It's always so good to have our finger on the pulse of campus
and Australia. Yep.
And Australia. Watch out for dingo hunters who might accidentally shoot you.
Don't let the dingoes eat your baby.
Right. Cool. Yeah. I guess I'll see you tonight for our hot date.
Okay. Goodbye, radio listeners.
Okay. Farewell.
Bye.
Whew. See, I mean, it's still good. I mean, the studio's nice, but we're kind of in our ivory tower up here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, Brandon, sorry. Can you trace where have you lived? Because I know you spent a lot of time in Georgia, right?
Yeah, so...
But you live in Virginia now when you're not here.
It's been a northward trend.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I lived for 9 years in Georgia, and then I moved to...
Atlanta, or...?
Yeah, outside of Atlanta.
Okay.
And then I moved to outside of D.C., basically. And then I went to high school outside of Philadelphia. And now
I didn't know that.
I am in college outside of Boston.
So. Yeah, okay. Well, hey, what do you know? It was like a boarding high school?
Yeah,
okay.
It was a Quaker school.
Oh, that's right. Okay, you went to the Quaker school. Yes, I knew that. Oh, yeah.
Bunch of weird folk.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Like your teachers or your classmates?
Everyone, like we called our teachers by their first name.
So weird.
No, it's just very, very alternative. I don't know.
Yeah, like what kind of rituals did you do?
So we just sat in silence all the time. Instead of bells in our high school, we had chimes.
Ooh, that's super soothing.
We didn't really learn history. We learned, like, peace and justice and, like, I don't know. History.
Interesting. Wait, okay. Did you have, literal chimes, you mean, though?
Yeah, like, instead of bells, we had chimes. Yeah. Because apparently that was anti-Quaker. I don't know.
Well,
because
we didn't have literal bells. We had just, like, a little, like, beep.
Yeah.
I actually, I can't remember what tone it was, but, you know, I had perfect pitch, so I could always replicate the tone. And there were a couple times when I would, like, do it. I would, like, make the sound in class, and the teacher would always be like, oh, wait. And then look at the clock, and be like, no, that can't be right. But they'd believe you. So we didn't have literal... Did you have literal bells?
I don't think we... I mean, we definitely did not have, like, physical bells, but sure. There was some sort of, like, noise like that.
Yeah. Yeah. My elementary school did have a literal bell. Hmm. Or at least it... Yeah, we definitely did. At least for outside. It's kind of a weird idea. School bell. Did you guys have a dress code at Quaker school?
Just no camouflage. Too warlike.
Ooh. Wait, really?
Yeah, no.
That was the only... What? Too warlike. Huh. Man, if no camouflage had been a rule of my high school, a lot of guys would have had to come naked, you know? That's all they owned.
Yeah. It was not a big deal for me. I didn't have to throw away my entire wardrobe.
Yeah. I mean, you wear a ton now, yeah, obviously. Yeah. Not that you can, but... I can barely see you. You're so well camouflaged. Wow, that's so interesting. I would have never... if you had told me, like... if you had asked me, like, what's the dress code at a Quaker school? I would have said, like, just, like, probably, like, Puritan garb of some kind, but...
Oatmeal, man.
All white.
Yeah. I would have said you had to dress like the oatmeal guy. But no camouflage. Dang. Do you guys have a dress code, Archie?
Yeah. We had a uniform.
You had a uniform?
Yep.
Man, so what did you wear? Were you allowed to, like, put any personal twists on it?
I was a bit of a rebel in that I never wore dress code shoes.
Whoa!
Yeah, I was edgy back then.
Wow. Did you ever get busted?
I don't think I ever did.
Wow.
Yeah. I think I was just, like, generally disheveled looking most of the time that I was in high school, so they
sure
overlooked that. I got in trouble a lot for untucking my shirt, which Oof. Was...
I could just picture you sitting in, like, geometry, like, I can't take it anymore. Like, I gotta breathe.
Gotta breathe.
Yeah, gotta let your britches breathe.
Yeah.
But
we had, like, a dress standard on Wednesdays, which meant that for chapel, we had to wear our white button-downs and ties.
We had... I think we only had a service, like, once a month that you had to dress up for and ties and stuff. But even that... You could pretty, like, I could probably wear, like, these pants I'm wearing right now for a service, and, like, these, it's rightfully been pointed out to me that these are not, like, dress pants at all. Did you call yourself a red wool for wearing non-dress code shoes?
I have no idea what a red wool is.
What'd you say? You were, like...
A red bull?
You said, like, I was a bit of a red wool, because I always wore red...
I think you said rebel.
A rebel! Oh, okay. That makes way more sense. I thought there was some kind of new phrase.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a red wolf.
You know, the red wolf that doesn't hang out with the other wolves. The
red wolf without a cause.
The red wolf. Yeah.
Red wolf without a cause. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. We always had, like, some teachers were super strict about the dress code. And some teachers were just like, look, like, I don't want to see your butts hanging out of your skirts. Like, I don't want to have to report you. I don't know why I'm doing that accent. I don't think I had any teachers that accent. Yeah. But people would really get in trouble if they didn't have liturgy clothes. If they didn't have, like, church clothes for those days.
Did you go to a Catholic school?
I did, yeah.
Presbyterian.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. It wasn't very Catholic, though. I mean,
mine was very Presbyterian.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really just that it was, like, the private... It was basically the only private school.
Yeah.
So, a lot of, like... Yeah. Catholic was not the main focus.
No. In Tennessee, there are so many, like, Christian schools that you have to compete...
Right.
...by denomination.
Right, right.
More or less.
We had this... So, in Madison, there's this other Catholic school, St. Ambrose. Mm. And that's, like, 40 kids go there. And sometimes people from my high school, Edgewood, like... if their parents were super into it, or if they were super into Christianity, like, they would transfer to St. Ambrose, and it'd be like, and they were never heard from again, you know?
They're just too into Christianity.
Yeah, it was this really interesting, I mean, it's like just totally different school. What the heck? Whatever. Yeah, I don't know. So, wait, Brandon, what brought you to Quaker school? I mean, whose idea was that?
I was living with my grandparents at the time, and then they had to move to Korea because they were, like, getting old. So it was just, like, my aunt and then my two cousins. So she's like, you should, I can't take care of you. And I was like, okay.
Wow.
And then I have a family friend who swims at, like, the Westtown pool, so she told me about it. Yeah, very, very weird.
Hey, you know where you'll love?
I like their pool, so I guess the school's good. She did not go to the school. She only swam there. She had no knowledge of the school whatsoever.
That is hilarious.
And then I just decided, like, all right, I guess I'm going to spend my next 4 years there.
So you decided? Like, it was you?
Oh, no, it wasn't my
choice. Okay.
It was decided for me.
Okay, but you came to terms with it because you had this ringing recommendation.
I'm like, oh, well, I guess if my cousin likes
it. Your grandparents, like, they're being taken care of by other relatives in Korea?
Okay.
Interesting. So you go back. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, they just couldn't speak English very well.
Sure.
Yeah. I don't know why they chose to move here.
So you could go to Quaker High School, man.
The American dream.
Yeah, right.
Going to a Quaker High School.
That's what every immigrant family
go to a school with a good pool. And
school with a good pool.
I just want my child to go to a school with a pool, you know?
Every admissions tour, you're like, but what about the pool?
Only in America. A school with a pool. Yeah. I'm sure that's what every Tufts parent is asking. Like, hey, can we see the pool?
I feel mean, but I really want a tabletop one of the the admissions, the tour guides.
Why?
They're always walking backwards. They're too vulnerable.
I feel like someone would stop. I mean, I feel like one of the dozen people that's watching them from the other side would notice that.
Someone's trying to tabletop.
Yeah. Unless they didn't like the tour guide, in which case they might let you do it. I knew a guy who was a tour guide a couple years ago, and he always was really angry with the parents because they would come up and just be like, basically like, hey, like, what were your, like, SAT scores and, like, all this stuff? Just like, will my child get in here? And it's like, hey, man, I'm just trying to show you, like, I'm just trying to show you the place. That always, I don't know, that made sense to me that he would be angry.
I concur.
Yeah. I feel like I know a lot of people who said they had, like, really amazing tour guides at Tufts, but mine was pretty standard.
I feel like I had a good tour.
Yeah?
I mean, like, I remember, or at the very least, like, when I saw my tour guide on campus after getting here, I was like, oh, I remember you.
Oh, really?
Like, well-ish.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't remember them at all, but I do remember the admissions person who gave the, who gave the speech in the auditorium or whatever, because I saw him again during Focus at the grocery store.
Whoa.
And I was like, I know you from somewhere. And then he kept talking, and I was like, oh.
He kept talking about his achievements and his quirks. The big, just for major undecided people interest, the big claim to fame is Mackenzie Miriam was in our little, like, matriculation speech. She was one of the people that Lee Coffin mentioned, the Dean of Admissions. So she, you know, that's her claim to fame on campus.
Was it the homecoming queen who...
Homecoming queen from Texas, who's the head of her school's Gay Straight Alliance, I think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. And we were all like, oh, wow! You know,
what? No.
And then you meet her, and then the pieces all start to come together. Yeah. Wow. Man, one thing we got to do before we go is you guys need to read a PSA from this book. There's a bunch of them in there. This is another thing the FCC requires that we do. I invite you both to find a good one and really give it the old treatment.
Okay.
There's a lot of weird There's a lot of quirky ones.
Yeah, when were these updated?
I feel like they periodically add some, but it doesn't seem like they ever remove any, is what I'll say.
Yeah, these are beautiful.
I know, right?
Ooh, numbers to think about.
Oh, right. Yeah, this is classic. Here, can you guys read every other word?
Okay. Some numbers
to
think
about.
The
United
States
has
less
than
5% of
the
planet's
population.
Oh, this is a classic one.
But
incarcerates
24%
of
its
prisoners
and accounts
for
43%
of
the
world's
total military
spending. Very progressive PSA.
Yeah.
Oh, this has been a public service message from WMFO in Medford.
Good. Yeah, they're often have a seeming progressive tilt. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, those are just numbers, you know?
You can think about them.
Can think about them. It's not saying explicitly that this is bad. Maybe someone will hear this and be like, I bet we can get that up to 50%, you know? Why do I keep doing Southern accents? I'm sorry. I'm not trying to characterize.
I'd like to be responsible for that in some part, but...
Yeah. I'm just trying to make Archie feel more comfortable.
Yeah. Thanks, man.
There are a lot of them like that. There's a lot of, like, weed ones like that. But I guess now that it's legal, we don't need to do those anymore. Yep. It'll be like... Number of people that die from prescription drug overdoses a year, you know, like some number. And then, like, number of people that have died from marijuana ever, 0. And it's like, okay. I don't think these are just two random numbers that we found. It's clearly targeted. The PSAs are always funny.
Wait, do you have to do, like, real advertisements, too?
No. That's the thing is... we don't. So, the university, like,